Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 15. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1067, Mark the 15th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. We'll read responsibly through verse 21. Once again, Mark 15, 15 through 21, and page 1067. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And let's finish on verse 21. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And let's pray. And Father, we've looked forward to this hour. We thank you for the strength of spirit that comes from hearing thy word. We pray that you'd help us today to be especially attentive. We believe you have something for each one of us. We believe that in this place our needs can be met. We thank you for that which you've given our preacher to give us. Help us not to take lightly the fact that we have a man of God, that we have thee and thy presence here with us, and we bear a great responsibility to hear now the preaching of the word. Help us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me assure you, as I do every Lord's Supper day, that by 10 minutes after 12, I'll be preaching, yes. And, folks, it's been a while since I preached, and I aim to catch up. But by 10 minutes after 12, I'll be finished. And by 12:30, you'll be gone from this place. I promise you that. May I ask you one question? Are you too warm? Lift your hand if you are. Or right, let's knock it down a couple degrees. Would you please, Brother Jesse? Thank you very much. I want to speak this morning on the subject, "Take up thy cross and follow me." I want to advance to you something that may mean. When Jesus said, "Take up thy cross and follow me," it may or may not be exactly what he meant, but what I'm going to give you is a true story. I want to read, without your turning to it, just one passage, one verse we read a while ago. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian. Cyrene, by the way, was in North Africa, who passed by. Notice that word, or the term. He passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. I think if you listen to me, you might see a little new slant about what it means. Take up the cross, Christ. Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing today above all. That's it. I'd like to preach a good sermon. I don't think I ever have preached what I thought was one. But I'd like to someday do that. But that's not the main thing I want this morning. I do not care, really, I mean this, if anybody walks out and says that was a good sermon. But I sure would like for some people to walk out and say, "I understand now. My heart's blessed, encouraged, spirits are lifted because I came to church today. Please help me to help these whom I love, in Jesus' name. Amen." In our rush to Calvary, and by the way, listen carefully because I do not have much time this morning. I will have to be brief. In our rush to Calvary, we take time to worship the Savior who did go to Calvary and pay the price for our sins. In our rush to Calvary, we rejoice with the thief That is the one who said yes to Christ and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. In our rush to Calvary, we take time to detest Pontius Pilate, the dirty coward who was warned by his wife, and yet who tried to wash his hands of the blood of Christ as if anyone could ever do so. In our rush to Calvary, we take time to sympathize with Mary Magdalene, who was the one possessed of seven demons and perhaps the most forgiven one around the cross. In our rush to Calvary, we take time to criticize those who wrongly tried our Savior. We take time to pity the apostles. This small group of men, fishermen, most of them, now lonely without the Savior who had been their captain for these months and 3 years. In our rush to Calvary, we take time to be ashamed of the Apostle Peter. If anybody should not have cursed, if anybody should not have denied the Savior, it should have been the one whom Jesus chose to be the leader of the 12. The one who was chosen to be the leader and the greatest Christian at that time in the entire world. We take time to be ashamed of the Apostle Peter. In our rush to Calvary, we take time to worship Jesus, rejoice with the thief, detest Pilate, sympathize with Mary Magdalene, pity the apostles, be ashamed of Peter. In our rush to Calvary, we take time to hurt with Mary, the mother of Jesus, the one who carried him in her own womb and delivered him by travail, the one who fed him first and bathed him first and loved him first and cared for him first and nurtured him first. We take time to hurt with Mary, the mother of Jesus. In our rush to Calvary, we take time to admire Joseph of Arimathea, who gave the sepulcher in which our Lord's body stayed for 3 days and three nights. But listen to me carefully. Seldom do you ever hear, if ever, hear a sermon or hear mentioned one character around whom I'm building my message this morning. And that's Simon the Cyrenian. Simon the Cyrenian. He was a Jew by name, an African by residence, and was not a Christian. May I have your attention as I speak to you this morning about Simon of Cyrenia, Simon the Cyrene. The Bible says two things about him casually. One, it says, as Jesus was being tried, beaten, crucified, Simon was passing by. Bible says he was coming out of the country, coming to town, if you please. He had no idea what was going on. He just was passing by, casually walking by, coming out of the country and coming to town. He was visiting the city, minding his own business, intent on his own affairs, when suddenly he sees a commotion. There's a crowd going toward a hill, a little small hill called Calvary. There's a crowd going toward that hill. And in his curiosity, he follows to see what's going on. He knows not anything. He knows nothing about Jesus. He knows nothing about what's happening. But he just passing by, coming out of the country, minding his own business, intending to his own business. And he sees the commotion. He rushes up. He sees a man who's carrying a cross on his shoulder. He sees his body beaten and bloody beyond recognition, the Bible says. He inquires to a friend, hey neighbor, what's going on? And the neighbor says, we're just crucifying somebody else. It's a common occasion around here. Capital punishment is a common occasion. Just going to crucify somebody. Some criminal is going to be crucified. What crime did he commit? Simon of Cyrene must have said. He said, I think it was treason. He says he's a king. And guilty of treason, he's been tried and convicted, and he's going to be crucified. What's he carrying on his back? Simon inquires. The answer, he's carrying a cross on his back. That's the way it's done here. The man who is going to be mortally penalized, the man who's going to be crucified, carries his own cross up the hill. Now get the picture again. Here is Simon from northern Africa, casually coming out of the country, passing by, when all of a sudden he sees the commotion. He rushes up to see what's going on. And what's going on here? And the fellow says, they're crucifying somebody. Well, what's he done? Well, treason, I think. He says he's a king. And maybe insurrection, but it's common. Well, what's on his back? That's a cross. He always carries the cross. And suddenly, Simon sees that man carrying the cross fall beneath its load. Hey, fella!
Hey!
You, come over here! Someone comes to Simon. One of the soldiers, maybe. Hey, come over here! Me? Yeah, come on. I'm Simon. I don't care who you are. Come on over here. You got a job. And the Bible says that he was forced or compelled to carry the cross. Now, wait a minute. He didn't volunteer to carry that cross. In the honest, simple truth is, he is shocked. He was carrying a burden all of a sudden. Suddenly, a burden was cast upon him. Now, by the way, about that burden, he was forced to carry it. But it was unexpected. He did not know it was going to come. It suddenly, without announcement, came into his life, and suddenly he was carrying a burden he did not expect to carry. That isn't all. He was carrying a burden. It was undeserved. This fellow didn't deserve to carry that cross. He had done nothing wrong. He was compelled. Here he was. Why do I have to carry this cross? I haven't done anything wrong. I've broken no laws. I've committed no crime. I've done nothing wrong. But he was carrying a burden he had to carry. It was forced on him, undeserved, and by the way, unwelcome too. And unwanted. Listen carefully. Don't miss it. One moment, everything was quite normal. The next moment, he was bearing a heavy load he did not want, warrant, or deserve. Six statements quickly. One, he did not know why he had to carry that burden. Two, he did not understand why he had to carry that. Why don't one of the soldiers carry the burden? Why does the citizen of Jerusalem carry the burden? Why have I, a foreigner from Cyrene, northern Africa, got to carry this heavy load? I'm saying that he did not know why, he did not understand, but he understood later. He understood later because he found that it was the cross of the Son of God Himself he was carrying up the hill. That isn't all. He understood later because later he would become a Christian. Simon would never be in heaven right now had he not had this unpredicted, unwarranted, unsolicited, and undesired burden suddenly cast on him. He would never have been a child of God. He did not understand it when that cross was placed upon him and he had to carry that burden, but thank God he understands now. That isn't all. He realized later he was chosen by God. He thought that soldier, hey, come over here, fella. Hey, you, get over here. I said, get over here and put that cross upon your back and carry it up the hill. He didn't deserve it. But later on he found he was chosen by God to bear that particular burden up the hill. Now, I would like to suggest that this may be what bearing the cross is. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. What does it mean to bear his cross? It just may mean what happened to Simon. For example, you were going about your business. You had no problems. Maybe coming out of the country. Maybe passing by. Life was great. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. And having a good time and no burdens and no problems. A good job and a good nice house and driving a good car. And having a happy marriage and your children are all well and there's no burdens. And all of a sudden, somebody says, come over here. And suddenly you're forced to bear a burden. It was unexpected. You did not know that little baby was going to be found face down in a pool. You did not know that your husband was going to have a heart attack today. You did not know that your wife was going to leave you to rear the children by yourself. You did not know that there was going to be a pain in your chest that you never felt before and to find out that you yourself had heart trouble. You did not know that your daughter was going to come and say, Mom or Dad, I'm pregnant. I've lived a wrong life. A little lady last night came to my office 17 years of age. Went to one of our schools here,
City Baptist bus kid school, and some wicked hands touched her and took her purity and chastity and got her pregnant. And now there she is, 17 years of old, all of age, a little child her ear. She can't find a job. She doesn't have a high school education. I'm saying, you parents, your daughter came home and said, I'm pregnant. You did not know it. Everything was all right. Hey, burdens usually creep up on you. And here's Simon carrying a cross he did not deserve, carrying a burden he did not warrant, carrying a load he did not deserve, did not desire, up the hill. And the same thing with you. You suddenly are carrying a burden that was unexpected. It was undeserved, unwanted, unwelcome. You don't know why. Now you have a choice. You have the same choice that Simon had. You can be bitter because your peace has been taken. You can be bitter because you've got to care. I don't deserve this burden. I haven't done anything wrong. Why me? And you can get bitter. Or you can say, like Simon, okay, I didn't choose this burden. I didn't want this burden. But I've got this burden, and I'm accepting the burden that I have in my life. Or you can realize you will someday know why and bear it willingly. Old story. You'll understand in a few minutes why I tell it to you again. It was Sunday afternoon. It was, let's see, about 42 years ago. I was going through the visitors' cards. I came to a card that said Margie Jackson and children. 2225 Sharon Drive in Garland, Texas. I went by to visit that little house. I found a burden that they did not expect and she did not deserve. I found her husband had left her. He was a policeman. He had left her. I told her that afternoon in the presence of her little children about the Savior. She said, I'm a Catholic. I said, that make any difference. You can be saved too. I told her about the Savior. Sweetly converted. Came to our church, was small in those days, just gotten there. Came to church that night. And I read her name and said, Margie Jackson trusted Christ this afternoon. And she said in a little, and she was pretty as a picture, and she said in a little southern drawl, she said, Brother Jack, could I say a few words? I said, go ahead. She said, Brother Jack, I just won't tell everybody I've been a Catholic, but she said, I've had a priestess that I've confessed my sins to. But she said, since I got saved a few hours ago, I got a new interceptor. She didn't get it right, but she didn't pronounce it like it ought to be pronounced, but she got near the truth and they do. I got a new interceptor. Hey! You can have a new interceptor this morning. You come to Christ and Christ will intercede and be your interceptor and stand before Almighty God in the presence of God interceding for you. She was baptized that night. Several days later I was driving down Garland Road. Now I'm a speed limit observer. I observed the speed limit. How about you truck drivers? Can you say the same thing? Raise your hand, fellas. I do solemnly swear that I keep the speed limit all the time. Hands go down. Yeah, okay. I was driving down Garland Road, a busy road about like maybe Indianapolis Boulevard over here. Looked up and there was a squad car following me. I don't care if I'm going 10 miles an hour. I feel like I'm headed for the penitentiary every time I see a police car behind me. So I drove down Garland Road. I decided to see if he was following me, so I turned right on Miller Road. The squad car turned right on Miller Road. I decided to turn left on 5th Street. And the squad car turned left on 5th Street. I was suspicious about something. I couldn't figure what I've done. And, maybe it's because I've been drinking a little bit. I don't know what it is. But anyway, I just want to see if you're out there still. And so I turned right off Garden Road onto Miller Road and then left on 5th, and as I had turned left on Chandler, little bitty street. I turned left on Chandler. He turned left on Chandler. I decided to find out for sure. I turned right up an alley, and this squad car turned right up an alley. I got the idea he's following me. Finally, I stopped. Get out of the squad car. I said, Officer, what did I do wrong? He said, nothing wrong. What's a fella got to do to get saved? I won that policeman of the Lord. I was a little sorry about it. I don't want any policeman to be in heaven with me. But I won that policeman of Christ. We're talking about 42 years ago. He got saved. I took him straight home. Little Margie was there with the children.
They were just about 20 years old, 21. That home was reunited. All of a sudden, a burden was cast on little Margie. Leonard left her. She didn't deserve it.
She had done nothing to deserve it. Like Simon or Cyrene, suddenly a burden, and like many of you, a burden was cast upon her, and she didn't deserve it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there will be a time when you'll know why the burden was cast on you.
The home was brought back together. A couple of years later, Leonard turned his life to preach the gospel. Has pastored for over 35 years the same church in Mesquite, Texas. His house and I got on the airplane to Honolulu. We had a stop over in Dallas flying to Honolulu. And they gave us the Dallas Morning newspaper. Miss Hiles leaned over and said, "Looky here." In the obituary was the picture of Leonard Jackson. Margie had died with cancer a year or two ago. This morning, Leonard and Margie are in heaven.
"I don't understand why this burden has been cast on me," she said. "I've done nothing to deserve it. I don't want my husband gone. I want my husband back. I don't understand it, but praise God, she understands today."
We had a wedding here yesterday afternoon. 2:00. But somebody's already married. Many years ago, a little 8-year-old girl came on our buses. First Baptist Church of Hammond. She's sitting here this morning, I'm sure. She came to First Baptist Church of Hammond. She had a dream. "As an 8-year-old girl, someday I want to walk the aisle in First Baptist and I want to get married. Someday, if I ever get married, I'm going to get married at First Baptist Church of Hammond." That little girl moved away as a teenager down to Belton, Texas and worked there 15 years. Had a good job. Her job required her to come back to the Chicago area to get more education, take some special courses. She enrolled at Purdue Calumet here in our area. And she was a little weak on algebra, so she had to be tutored. She had a lot of choices. She had several young men, several young ladies. She chose a young man, being an intelligent young lady. And there's one certain young man that she really enjoyed. He was the best tutor. Now, what he tutored her on, I don't know, but he was the best tutor. Wait a minute. She fell in love with him. He asked her to marry him. She said, "I can't." She said, "I want to get married in a church wedding, and we can't afford one." 2 weeks later, he asked her to marry him again. She said, No, I can't. I want my dream is to get married at First Baptist, walk down the aisle in a wedding gown, a month later, he asked her again. A month later, he asked her again. A month later, he asked her again, the fifth time. And she said, "I'll marry you on one condition. If we get married as a judge by judge, when we get enough money, I'll have a formal church wedding at First Baptist Church of Hammond. My dream since I was a little girl was Brother Hiles to perform my ceremony and to get married and walk the aisle in a wedding gown at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Judge, they tried to find you." They wanted a judge to marry him. He had one day off. One day. And he knew he could get married in church. And she wondered, "Why can't I get married in church all of a sudden? What that is? Or why couldn't I fall in love with somebody who had some money?" I'm sure many of you ladies are asking the same question. Why this burden on me? My goal is to get married at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And Brother Howell performed the ceremony. Hey, we got to get married by a judge. Had one day off. Tried to find a judge. All the judges, they said, every judge, Judge Clement, every judge was either in court or playing golf. And I'd like to know which one you were doing. And they couldn't find the judge, so they couldn't get married. He had another day off a month later, but it was for oral surgery. They got married 8:00 in the morning by a judge, had breakfast at Bob Evans at 9 and oral surgery at 10. There are people who have oral surgery then get married again. But anyway, but here, look, my dream is shattered. I love the fellow, but my dream is shattered. I don't understand why I can't have a nice wedding like all the other girls do. Why? I'll tell you why. Yesterday afternoon at 2:00, about 50 people gathered. Maybe not that many. I didn't know but 3 or 4 people. Maybe 2 or 3 in the entire little crowd of people. They're all strangers to me. I conducted the wedding, and after it was over, at their request, I spent a few moments explaining how to be saved. I asked the folks to bow their heads, raise their hand if they'd trust the Savior. Somebody back here raised a hand. I said, God bless you. A hand came up over here. By the time it was ended, of the 50 people here, 11 of them had trusted Christ as their Savior. You see, there's a reason for that burden. You're casually walking through life like Simon of Cyrene, and all of a sudden you're just passing by, coming out of the country, minding your own business, and suddenly a burden is laid on you. And your wife has left you, and it's not your fault, or your husband is left, and it's not your fault, or your parents are divorced, and it's not your fault, or your child is ill, and it's not your fault, or you have an illness, and it's not your fault. Or your heart suddenly was broken and it's not your fault. An unexpected burden was cast on you and it's not your fault. It was undeserved, unwanted, unwelcome. You don't know why. Do what Simon did. Just carry it. And I'll promise you that there's a God in heaven, the same God that chose you to bear that burden, will someday show you why He chose you to bear that burden. So many things I could say. An old story. She grew up in First Baptist Church. She's a mother now. One of the loveliest young ladies that ever grew up in this church. I'll not call her name. Many of you will know her name but the story I tell. One day, a young man proposed to her. They set the wedding date. Came to within just a few, not many days of the wedding. She had a shower. Wedding dress was already bought. The dresses of the attendants were already bought. Everything, flowers ordered, cake ordered, everything. She comes to my office one day with a broken heart and she says, Preacher, I found out that my fiance has kissed another girl. What should I do? And I called her by name, one of our finest young ladies, a lovely, beautiful lady. And I said, you shouldn't marry him. She said, but a shower, what do I do with the gifts? I said, contact everybody that gave you one. Take it back to them if you have to. But how about the wedding dress? I said, you'll use it someday. And that young lady walked out of my office. She didn't deserve a single burden she was bearing. And she walked out like Simon, who was passing by, minding his own business, and suddenly the big burden laid on him. She called everybody. I gather, given her a present, and either returned it, or maybe they said, don't worry about that, keep it for later. Wedding was called off, and she carried a burden, not only a burden of a broken heart, but a burden of embarrassment. Months passed. I was counseling with a fine young man one day. He said, Brother Howells, whom do you think I ought to date? I called this girl's name. She's getting now up close to middle 20s, she was. He said, her? She's a queen. I'm not good enough to marry a queen. I said, she may look like a queen as she walks down the street, you know, but I said, she's just a snotty-nosed brat like every other girl is. I said, I know her. He said, she's too good for me. I don't want to marry a queen. I want to marry a woman. I said, she's not a queen. She's a woman. She just looks like a queen. And brother, every single pure, decent young lady in the world is a queen as far as God's concerned. I said, just try her. Have one date with her. This good-looking young fella had one date with her. They fell in love. And many years ago, one of the finest couples in our church. She didn't deserve that burden. She didn't know why. Why this burden? I'm just passing through, coming from the country, minding my own business, and all of a sudden somebody, hey, pick up this cross and carry this cross. And that's what's happened to thousands of people in this room this morning. All of a sudden, something you did not want or deserve came in your life. Well, praise God, there will be a time when you will find out why. 36 years ago, I got a letter from this church, the father of a man that's sitting right back here this morning. And all of a sudden, for 7 long months, I was thrust into a burden I didn't want to carry. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. My wife lived 22 miles from her mother. I lived 22 miles from my mother. We lived about 20 miles from the high schools we both attended. It was our home county, our home area. Our church had grown like a prairie fire. We were there to spend a lifetime, and all of a sudden a letter comes from Hammond, Indiana. Would you be interested in candidating for the church? And I wrote back and said, no, I would not be interested in candidating for the church. I don't want to go up north. Yankees live up there. I don't want to go up north. They wrote back and they sent me an application form. I filled out one little spot on it where it said comments. I said, I don't believe in applying for churches. Get on your knees and have an all-night prayer meeting and pray for God to send this man. Time is gone. It's 12:10. But I want to say this. I did not know when Ms. Howes and I, three little children, she was carrying Cindy. We rolled in here. Did not know why this burden was thrust on us. Why? After 36 years, let me praise His name. Let me shout His praises. Let me shout His glory. The burden you carry this morning, I don't want you to carry it. I didn't want Simon to carry his, but thank God Simon is in heaven today, all because a cross and a burden he did not want to bear was thrust on him unexpectedly and unwanted. Take up your cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a greater sacrifice when Jesus paid it all? Would you bow your heads, please?